morning. I call the Piscataway County Board of Supervisors into session at 9 a.m. this morning. Wendy, let's move on. Council, Judith Weitzel.
Ready? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning again.
Morning. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we gather in this place today to conduct business of the county, we're grateful for your presence. We're grateful for your concern and your love in our lives. We're aware of things in the world, and I would pray today for the people in Iran and the situation that is happening there. And Father, as a result of our freedoms in this country, may we never take them for granted. For the regimes that hold their people hostage and do not have the freedoms that we have. Every day is precious, the freedoms are precious, and we need to do all that we can to maintain that. And so I thank you for our form of government. I thank you for the Board of Supervisors who care about this county and all who work and serve. And Father, help them make good decisions, give them wisdom and understanding in every matter that touches the lives of people. We're affected by so many and decisions of many, but may we be good citizens. May we be found helpful to support our government, to be an active part of all that takes place. In all these things, we are grateful once again and express our gratitude. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Now I'll go over here to Wendy.
Alrighty. Supervisor Valenzuela.
Here.
Supervisor Ogren.
Present.
Supervisor Harris.
Present.
Supervisor Help.
Present.
And it appears Supervisor Kopseff is absent.
Correct.
Alrighty.
Item 4, presentations from the public. It's time slots for information from the public. No action or discussion will be conducted on matters presented at this time. You'll be allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. Written comments can be presented if so desired by providing a minimum of 7 copies to the clerk. And when addressing the board, please state your name for the record prior to providing your comments. Please address the board as a whole through the chair, and comments should be limited to matters within the jurisdiction of the board. I don't have any in-house comment board cards.
No cards here.
Showing none online? Showing none online. I guess we have none then. Move on to item 5, consent agenda.
Pull item B, please.
Okay.
B as in boy?
B as in boy.
Thank you.
Looking for a motion.
Move to approve the remainder.
Second.
Okay. All righty. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
And Supervisor Howell?
Aye. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yeah, I'm going to vote no on this, so I just thought I'd pull that for, I think it's just too early in the process. Adding a grizzly bear to the already big bear population isn't going to change the dynamic, so.
Okay. I'll move to approve.
Second.
All righty, Supervisor Valenzuela?
No.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Howe?
Aye. Item 6A, departmental requests to county administration. All right, Jerry.
All right, good morning, Chair, members of the board. Sherry Lawson, Deputy County Administrator, Chief Fiscal Officer. Here today to talk to you about the results of the 25-26 mid-year budget review, as well as to present the 26-27 recommended budget calendar and the 26-27 budget principles. The budget calendar and the budget principles may not have been changed from what was adopted this year. The only notable change is we did add an extra principal, number 10, to delete positions that have been vacant for 12 months or more. The new principal that we're asking for the board to approve today is in an effort to get a real picture of our actual budget costs when payroll projections are produced and to begin a structural correction of our budgets. So as we pass the mid-year point of fiscal year 25-26, I just want to give you a quick snapshot of where we stand. Budget actuals were pulled on January 5th, and as of that date, the general fund had collected about 43% of its expected revenues and has spent roughly 53% of its appropriations. Across all funds, we are at about 49% of revenues collected and 41% of appropriations expended. At the halfway point of the fiscal year, this is exactly where I thought the county would be. The departments were also asked to prepare June 30 year-to-date projections, and based on those figures submitted by departments, it looks like we'll end the year pretty close to what we thought we would end the year with adopted budget. We're still facing about a $6 million deficit in general fund. Of course, that number could change depending on how this fiscal year is wrapped up once the books are closed, but we, as you are aware, have already identified one-time funds to address the deficit should that become necessary. Some departments are projecting to come in fairly tight on wages and benefits, which was to be expected because, again, as you are aware, we remove funding from vacancies, so I will be asking departments to monitor their wages and benefits closely. Should they get to a point where they are projecting a shortfall in wages and benefits, we will work with them to identify any areas of their budget where funds could be transferred. And if after that exercise is complete, they are still going to be short, we'll make sure that they have enough funds in their budget to operate through the end of the year. So looking ahead into fiscal year 26-27, we'll be conducting a more stringent review of departmental budgets and diving deep into the details of each department's budgets. Specifically, we'll focus on personnel costs, continue to leave vacant positions unfunded. We'll be looking at overtime and extra help trends, especially for those departments that are becoming fully staffed, and see if that's an area where we could have some savings. We will, as always, carefully evaluate new positions to ensure they're either cost neutral or they're supported by ongoing revenue. We'll be testing revenue projections against historical trends to ensure the departments are giving us correct assumptions, that they're realistic, that we're distinguishing between one-time and ongoing funds, and that we're looking at grant dependencies to identify sunset risks. And for operation and contractual expenses, departments will be asked to provide detailed expenditure worksheets so we can perform a thorough cost analysis. We want to ensure that one-time expenditures are not being embedded into ongoing budgets, that departments are budgeting for their operational needs, and that fund balances remain structurally sound. The goal is, it's pretty straightforward. We have a projected $6 million deficit in the general fund, and we need to address that in a thoughtful and responsible manner. That means making sure departments are operating efficiently, that ongoing spending matches sustainable revenues, and that we're making structural adjustments necessary to get the budget back in balance. By digging into the nuts and the bolts, we're going to be able to identify issues early, make more informed decisions, and put the county on a stronger financial footing moving into this next fiscal year. And lastly, I want to thank you, the board, for your support. I look forward to working with you and departments in the development of the 26-27 budget. And before I wrap it up, I wanted to acknowledge Kate Trost. She is sitting in the back row. She is one of the newer members in the She's one of the newer members in the auditor's office. She's a supervising accountant auditor, and she's been assigned as the auditor staff member that's going to be working on compiling the data for 26-27. And so she and I will be working closely together this year. So I just wanted to take a minute and recognize her. That hopefully she'll be up here with me when it comes to recommended. And with that, I will turn it over to you for questions, comments, concerns.
Questions? I have one.
Okay. And I'm going to come up with one.
Okay. In Budget Principle 10, deleting positions.
Yes.
So if we end up deleting a position and it's needed later, do we have to go back through unions and all the rest of that? And classification, what's the process?
A department, if they have a true need to bring a position back, they would go through the normal process that we already have in place. And deleting positions rather than freezing them. If we freeze positions, they're still on the books and they get budgeted every year. And then we have to go through and we have to remove. And so this is really just an effort to clean up. But of course, if there is a true need for a department to get a position back, we will work with them to make sure that they get it back.
Okay, I understand that piece. As far as deleting and adding, does that have to come back to the board or no?
Angela Davis, County Administrator. Yes, it would come back through the board through a resolution, just as we had on the consent agenda today. It's a very simple process. We can expedite those requests, which we do. And it does not have to go back to the union for approval if we're adding a position back into the county position allocation list.
Okay. Okay. I'm just, my thoughts are, like with the Sheriff's Department, always there's a running list of vacancies that we never seem to be able to.
There are, and as soon as a department requests that a position be added, of course we have our standard questions that we ask, but it's, like I stated, it is a expedited process, and depending upon the budget, I mean the board calendar, we get it onto the next agenda so that we can address those issues that they may have.
All right, thank you.
So I think we built in wage increases into the budget.
Yes.
Can you tell me what that percentage is when it comes to deficits and stuff?
Sure. Typically, we build in a 3% buffer when we have when payroll projections are produced, and then of course you know we build in buffers for PERS increases and insurance increases and all of that. So we
knowing
try to make sure that those are addressed.
Sure. Knowing that headcount is the biggest part of our budget.
Yes.
You know, I guess my question would be specifically, what's the amount in the deficit? Where are, you know, is it a fair percentage in there that we're looking at that we have to figure out how to manage the increase in wages?
Without having my spreadsheets in front of me, I can't give you an accurate answer on that.
But it would be significant, right?
Presumably.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. I mean, I think it's only fair for our employees to know that we struggle to pay the highest wage we can come up with,
sure.
Knowing that there's a... How do we increase revenues with that?
Right.
You know, I mean, that's the issue, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good morning.
So I see there's a motion associated with this?
I think it's just...
Yes,
there is a motion.
Okay.
It's for the...
Right.
The adoption of the calendar and the budget principles.
Move to approve?
Correct.
Second.
Thank you. Just got away.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Through the chair?
Yes, ma'am.
Angela Davis, County Administrator. I just want to add to a point to Supervisor Valenzuela's thoughts on salary versus trying to address the deficit. I want to make it also very clear that we look at every other aspect other than touching employees' salaries or our employees themselves as far as numbers are concerned.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure the public and,
sure.
and everyone knows that we look at everything from training budgets to fixed assets to whatever we can
sure.
garner those dollars to be able to decrease that deficit before we start looking at hiring freezes and,
yeah,
and
no,
that
no.
kind of thing. So I just wanted to make sure that no one walks away thinking that.
I think my point was to get to for the public to know what the biggest cost to this
correct.
County is. My focus has always will be economic development. How do you increase revenue mm-hmm. across the board? I mean, that's what the offset is.
Correct. Correct. Thank you.
And you know, with the mill closure, that doesn't help our equation, right?
No. Thank you.
Okay, moving along. Item 7A. Review status of local emergency due to the presence and impact of the gray wolves in Siskiyou County as declared by Resolution 25-200, adopted November 18, 2025, and actions that extend or terminate local emergency. I don't know that there's a staff associated with this. Mary Joanne.
Hi, Joanne Johnson, Project Coordinator for County Administration. I don't have many updates. As you may know, there have been some recent probable depredations, and we're continuing with our internal meetings and meetings with the Livestock Coalition.
By all indication, the information I'm getting is the population is increasing, and so is dispersal across the county. So I'll move to extend.
I'll second.
Okay. discussion? Wendy?
To extend?
Yes, ma'am.
And the second? Thank you. All right, Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe?
Aye. Let's move to appointments. Clerk, 8A.
The first one we have. Okay, this is scheduled vacancies on the Local Child Care Planning Council. This is for one consumer, one public agency representative, and one discretionary appointee. These are for terms ending February 28th of 2028. Let's see. The LPC recommended the reappointment of incumbents Carla Shiraga, Rania Merrill, and Tammy Jamie, and I did. I think that's how you pronounce the name. Anyway, they do support the reappointments of those incumbents, and we had no other letters of interest. We just need to, if we would, appoint the three.
Move to approve.
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe?
Aye. 8B, Scott Valley Fire Protection District. Okay. I would assume that's why our...
Yes, this was a...
No?
Yeah. This was a scheduled vacancy on the Scott Valley Fire Protection District due to term coming to end. This would be for a short term ending December 3rd of 2027, as the district was unable to appoint to their board. The Board of Supervisors can make an appointment no later than today, March 3rd. And I did double check in the office that we had not received any letters of interest, so effectively, if we don't have anybody to appoint, it would be no action.
And I've had no request from the department either.
You've heard nothing either?
No.
Okay. So don't need any action on that one.
Okay. Moving on to C, Dunsmuir Fire Protection District.
Dunsmuir Fire, basically the same situation. Their board was unable to appoint a member to their district, and the Board of Supervisors can make an appointment no later than today. Again, this is one we have not heard back from or received any letters of interest.
Same position. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
They got to come up with someone. I haven't.
Yeah, we've reached, and I know our office has reached out to the district and didn't hear back. And then number
D is Hornbrook.
Hornbrook. Again, same situation. This would be for a short term ending December 3rd of 2027. The district was unable to make an appointment, and the Board of Supervisors can make an appointment no later than today. Again, our office reached out, but no letters of interest or emails came in with this
again,
as well.
I've had no interest expressed to me there either.
We did have a little bit of email back and forth that somebody might be interested, but that person was told, if you are, get a hold of us ASAP, and it didn't happen. So at this point, no.
Okay.
We haven't heard from anybody.
All right. Item 9A, February 17th, minute approval.
I've heard no corrections for those.
Move to approve.
Second.
All righty. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren?
I will abstain. I was absent.
Oh, abstain. Thank you. Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe?
Aye. Item 10, public hearings. A, Health and Human Services, Behavioral Health Division. Good morning.
Good morning, Chairman, members of the board. Sarah Tolari, Health and Human Services. And with me is Sarah Evans. I'm delighted to have her here. She has accepted the position of the MHSA coordinator for behavioral health. So we are here today seeking your support for the adoption of the fiscal year 25-26 annual update. As you can see, it's late due to an extended vacancy in the coordinator position. It extends services. This is the last year of MHSA, so this and the last year and final year in a three-year plan. So this is the update for that. So all of the services contained within this update are services we've been providing for the last 2 years under the three-year plan. Okay. We will be back next meeting with a draft plan for the BHSA, so you have that to look forward to. But these services are all the services that have been in place for several years.
Okay, so this is the first reading?
Actually, this is just, there's not like a first reading or second reading. It's just them holding their public hearing.
Just presentation, that's it?
Well, and then eventually adopt their plan, correct?
Correct, and we've received no comments either from the public during the 30-day comment period or from the Behavioral Health Board when we held a public hearing there a couple weeks ago.
Okay, I guess what I'm asking, do I need to go through the whole protocol?
Yes, because it is a public hearing.
All right.
Thank you.
Sure. Any presentation of correspondence? I think you already answered that.
Yeah, and no correspondence at the clerk's level.
Any reports, arguments, or evidence by staff or other county departments or agencies? Seeing none. Proponents, arguments?
Showing not online.
Opponents, arguments?
Showing none online.
Public comments?
Showing none online.
Any in-house? Seeing none. No rebuttal. Closing the hearing?
All right.
And we close the hearing. Discussion by the board, if any.
Yeah, I'll have one. Because we've been at this long enough.
We have.
You know, just anecdotally, you know, I noticed that this past year, let's say, there's been a lot of emphasis, whether it's a radio blurb or a commercial I see on TV, something on mental health. I mean, are we seeing any increase in participation when we go out for a public comment here locally? And this is probably a follow-up. You'll see the same question next week, or next meeting, if you will. How do we increase participation with behavioral health?
For input or for services?
Particularly input.
So this past year, we hired a consultant, Third Sector, to conduct our community planning process.
Okay.
And you will see in the draft, the with BHSA, there's a list of stakeholders that we're required to engage. And so
right.
You will see that list. They did a very good job of going throughout the county and seeking input. So DHCS is much more prescriptive with regard to the BHSA plan, and that includes prescriptive about who you need to seek input from. They were successful in getting input from everyone on that list, with the exception of disability insurers, because there was just a lot of questions, and I don't know if you can elaborate on that, but who that actually is. So they reached out to, I remember who it was. They reached out for that input and didn't get a response. But other than that, they reached out to everyone on the list and actually got quite a bit of participation throughout the county.
All right, well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, and they can file a report, which will be available with the draft next week.
Okay, real good.
Or
thank
not
you.
Next week, in 2 weeks.
Thank you.
Looking for a motion.
Move to approve.
Second.
Alrighty. Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe.
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Item B, Williamson Act. Good morning, Bernadette.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Bernadette is an associate planner. So John Verone has requested a separate contract for his 489 acres located south and east of the community of Greenview on Eller Lane. This property is only a portion of an existing Williamson Ag contract. He intends to continue the commercial ag use of rangeland and pasture for livestock production and forage. During the review of the request, it was found that the subject property is within an ag reserve, which has property under separate ownerships and is not contiguous. To address these issues, the existing preserve should be amended to remove the subject property and a new preserve created. The applicant does not propose to increase or decrease the acreage in preserve under the contract. Staff recommends determining this project exempt from CEQA, adopt the resolutions amending the ag reserve, and rescind the property from the existing contract and reissue a single contract of subject property within the newly established preserve. Thank you.
Presentation of any correspondence?
No correspondence at the clerk's level.
Any reports, arguments, or evidence by other staff? Proponents' arguments?
Showing none online.
And none in house. Opponents' arguments?
Showing none online.
And none in-house. Public comment?
Showing none online.
None in-house. No rebuttal. It's the first reading we have to do.
We can close
we
the
can
hearing,
close.
Yes.
Okay. I'm close that hearing and bring it back to the board. I understand this one. This has been going on for a while. And then motion. I'll make the recommended motion for Mr. Baroni.
Second.
All righty. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay.
Excuse me, Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
And Supervisor Hill?
Aye. 10C, another one for Nadette.
Thank you. The Chris's have submitted an application for two separate Williams and Act contracts for their property, which is only a portion of an existing Williams and Act contract. The farm site is located south and west of the community of McDowell. The ranch is in two separate portions, one portion located north and east of McDowell on June Vernal Road, and the other portion located west of McDowell on East Lake Road. The farm property will continue to be used for intensive farming for strawberry production. The ranch will continue to be used for livestock grazing, with an area dedicated to a feedlot and calving area. Each proposed contract individually meets minimum parcel size, soils equivalent, and commercial ag use requirements. Staff recommends determining this project exempt from CEQA. Adopt the resolutions amending the ag preserve to remove the subject property and create a new 706-acre preserve. And rescind the property from the existing contracts and issue two new contracts that are within the newly established preserve. Thank you.
Any correspondence?
Not at the clerk's level.
Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by other staff? None. Proponents' arguments?
Showing none online.
None in-house. Opponents' arguments?
Showing none online.
None in-house. And a public comment?
Showing none online.
And none in-house. No rebuttal. Close the hearing. Mm-hmm. And bring it back to the board for discussion or a motion.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay.
All righty. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
And Supervisor Hill?
Aye. I told you it was done by 9:30.
Good job.
We'll do board and staff reports pretty quick here before we go to close. CAO has none, but the board.
I attended a Wolf Coalition meeting on the 19th. Attended a TMDO meeting on the 24th. First five meeting on the 25th. And attended the Lion Pride dinner on Saturday.
I did attend DC last week, Thursday through Monday, I believe, and met with Senator Padilla's office. I want to give some kudos to Supervisor Jessica Pisca from Lake County, who arranged some meetings, particularly for around FEMA funding for home hardening, which is unfortunately not going to be forthcoming anytime soon. I'm grateful that we, as much as we were in line to get the money, that they didn't award it and then claw it back. That's probably the worst scenario. Lake County's up against that kind of thing. They just received money and it's going to get clawed back. Having said that, there's a lot swirling on behind the scenes. Wolf came up as a subject, RCRC. I expect a CSAC, our legislative and people back there, will give me a brief update for all the meetings I attend, and I'll share that with you when that comes. Thank you.
I have to go back a ways since I missed the 17th. I'm going to start from the 3rd. Bear with me.
I'll let you.
Okay. Chaired a COC meeting on the 4th. I'll probably skip dates because it's going to be away. Let's see. Whoopsie. Hold on. Please hold. I had an air Resolution meeting. Transportation meeting, those were on the 10th. I had a really interesting conversation with some educators regarding some funding opportunities for the C2C, for Collier Interpretive and Information Center. We're still trying to find some funding to keep that open, because at this point Collier's is closed, because we don't have enough money to fund our one employee. So I keep trying to drum up some more funding. So that was that. We're working on some. We've got about $7,000 worth of seed money that we're trying to gather so that we can look for interns from high schools, and also to keep our employee funded so she can be a mentor for those interns. So that's an opportunity I'm working on right now. Also, let's see. Oh, I'm getting closer. Well, then I had some time away. That was beautiful. I'll call it good. Thank you.
Okay. Just a couple from me. The California Licensed Foresters Association on the 19th for a pretty interesting meeting regarding a lot of issues on the table in the county associated with natural resources, natural resource management. Lots of things moving on, not much moving on public land, but a lot of things moving on private land in the county. I met with a new appointed judge. Very good meeting with them.
Kendall Hammond.
Yeah, I'm pretty impressed, actually. Happy for Siskiyou County with that appointment. And then I attended a DARE graduation in Edna on the 27th. And I'm pleased to say that it looks like the program's growing. It's good and strong. I was worried about it a few years ago, but good and strong. Lots of participation from two classes at Edna Elementary, as well as a lot of parents there. So that's good. And with that, we're going to go into closed session.